This is Aaron Pednotti, and I am talking to you from 500 Federal Street, where I just saw the preview performance of 100 Years by Richard Dresser, a well-known playwright. And today I'm going to be talking to David Girard, the artistic director of Troy Foundry Theater, which produced the play. The first thing I want to ask you about, David, is Troy Foundry in general. Can you just tell us a little bit about its overall mission and its approach to theater in the Capital Region?
Sure. We've been around for 20 months, exactly. I think 20 months, something like that. And we do site-specific immersive theater. We don't do it in traditional theater spaces. We do it in non-traditional theater spaces. Such, we are in 500 Federal, which is an office building, which is our first office building, which is really kind of exciting. But we've also performed in the historic gas holder building at 5th and Jefferson. We performed in Collar Works. We performed in a Victorian mansion. We've done summer salons in people's backyards. We do a Dark Day Monday reading series in several different locations, including Superior Merchandise Company, on Russell Sage's campus, and several other places. We've been in, I think, something like over 20 different spaces in the 20 months that we've been around, and that's the kind of theater that we produce. If we're doing an extant work or by an author who's already established, we'll usually try to reinterpret their work, which we've done with Beckett and Pinter. Or if we're doing new work, which we try to pull out of the Dark Day Monday series, we do full new productions, which is, in this case, is 100 years. We also devise our own work. We work with some artists out of Philadelphia. And within our own company, we have our own resident academic company and kind of build our own work. So most of what we try to do is new, or we try to take something that may have existed before and make it new again.
I read the recent piece about Troy Foundry Theater in the Collaborative, or it was actually about interactive and immersive forms of theater in the Capital Region.
Another company were featured in that piece. And yeah, there's been a lot of talk, I think, in this area because there's several companies that are trying this kind of work of taking spaces that aren't traditionally theatrical and making them theatrical. So it's definitely a thing. We're seeing it a lot in New York. I think the best, probably most commercial example in New York is Sleep No More, which is the Macbeth-themed piece. We're not inside the theater right now, by the way, so I can't say Macbeth. We're not even in a theater, so I actually think I could probably stand in the space where we perform our piece and say Macbeth. But
You know, you don't want to tempt fate on that front.
Oh, exactly. I'm not really superstitious until I have to be. But yeah, it's definitely something that is more prevalent. I'm more interested in it, mostly because I get to sort of reframe or recontextualize something. It maybe exists before, or just create new work. And I think create new work in exciting spaces. And I think Troy specifically is an amazing place to work, live, and create art in, because there's all of these amazing spaces. And what's interesting about doing this play in this space is we've been in all these historic properties, these older properties, because everybody thinks of Troy as a place where there's all this Victorian architecture, there's all this, all these great spaces that are being rediscovered by several business owners in town. I mean, Troy is obviously experiencing this renaissance. And then to turn around and do this piece in not one of those spaces, probably in one of the more newer buildings in Troy, but to have this sort of license as a company to go into a space and just kind of take it over and turn it into a theatrical venue is awesome. It's super fun. Yeah.
And another thing that the Collaborative piece focused on is the thematic pairing of the setting to the content of the play. So typically the play is in some less than tangential way related to the type of setting in which it's staged.
Yeah, I mean, and I think we do that anyway, right? We're learning from a lot of colleagues that do devised work. One of my really good friends in Philadelphia who just produced our last piece with us, Brenna Geffers, talks about the fact that the space has to inform the piece, that the space in many ways defines the piece. Now, in this instance, we have a play that's already extant, it's already written. It's a brand new play, it's a world premiere, but Richard grounds the play and the story in a very specific world. But being the company that we are, we can contextualize that a little bit more by putting it into a space, because we're not going to work in a traditional theater. And in this case, we're in Florida, we're in a gated community, but we're also dealing with two couples that are going through some kind of change in their lives. And it's a little bit in the future. we know that the world is shifting. Right now, the world is shifting. We read papers and go online every day, and we see that the environment's a problem, and things seem to be little by little falling apart. And without giving anything away, you know what I mean? I don't want to give too much away, but that they're given this opportunity to get maybe a second chance at the world and at their own lives. And I think this space, because it feels very clinical in a lot of ways. So, I mean, we're right next to Troy Medical. We're right next door to a dentist's office. And each floor you go on, you see these sort of companies, these sort of industries, these sort of clinical industries that exist in a space like this. And luckily for us, David Bryce, who owns this building, he's a wonderful guy, has all this space in Troy, had this open office space. And we approached him and we're like, hey, we think this play should be here. And we got it, and it's great. And it was what Richard and Liz, our production director, Liz Carlson, a colleague of mine from Philadelphia, really talented director, decided upon, which was really funny. Like, I wasn't actually part of that decision. I let the playwright and the director get together to make that decision. And when they came to me, being somebody that produces in Troy, we're the Troy Foundry Theater, everybody knows us for going into these spaces. And I'm thinking, like, what kind of space, what kind of historical space? I'm going to have to find something ritualistic. At one point, we were looking at churches, and they were like, we want an office space. And I was like, oh, that's something completely different from what we've done. But we've done it. You know, we've completely occupied the space. Continued to create an immersive experience for the audience to come into. But this is a little bit different than our previous piece, which Prohibition, which our audience was on their feet the entire time, sort of going from installation to installation, because we were in a contemporary art piece or art space and doing a piece that could live inside an installation. In this case, it is a little bit more of a traditional play, that at some point you're going to sit down and you're going to watch the play, but we wanted to bring the audience into some kind of world, sort of like, you know, get them ready for this experience, for the process.
I don't want to say too much either, but one thing I can say is that it's kind of a mix of Samuel Beckett, particularly the motif of waiting. There's also some Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf mixed in, but in this Philip K. Dick sci-fi context where, let's just say, people are undergoing a treatment that is very ambiguous on a compound that is run by a mysterious corporate medical entity whose nature we're not fully meant to understand. And one thing I noticed about the production design is that the back of the stage has a chain link fence and clear tarp around it. And that, you begin to notice as you're sitting there, extends all the way up around the audience. And particularly when combined with the interactive entry where the audience is waiting outside and you've got somebody in a lab coat coming out and telling you that the treatment is ready for you and please forgive the vagueness of our answers when you ask us a question, it really functions, at least in my interpretation, as a deliberately claustrophobia-inducing effect. Could you just speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, well, we have a really great designer. This guy's Colin McIlvain. He was just named one of the top 20 people to watch in American Theater Magazine, and he's our designer. So I think that's important to note, because he really understood what Liz wanted to get at in this piece, and also that, like, taking advantage of the space that we provided him. He is just an amazing designer and is also kind of willing to work with us in a lot of ways, because we create sort of like our front of house. We talk about front of house. It's like the bar. It's the ticketing. It's everything what happens before you actually get into theatrical space. But with our company, our front of house is so much more, because there's so much more synergy and sort of overlap, let's say, of what you're walking into. And Colin is absolutely so game to that. He works with a lot of great companies in Philly that kind of play in that world. One of them, he designs for quite a bit, Theater Exile. They've always worked in like kind of small spaces. So he understands how to work in a small space and still maximize his design, which I think is super cool.
And if I could just jump in for a second, another thing I noticed was we're in a corporate environment. Yeah. 500 Federal Street is definitely very
great name, Federal. Really great about that. I mean, vagueness of the address, future patrons that are coming to the show, hopefully. It's just 500 Federal Street, right. Right. Easy to find, and parking.
And also the looming shadow of the federal government kind of serves to freak you out,
Social
right?
Social Security Administration is on the ground floor, right. Which I actually find there's a certain kind of kismet to the idea that Social Security Administration is on the ground floor of this play in some way.
And then there's a character in the play who is a victim, ultimately, in terms of the plot, of the very corporate logics, the bottom line logics that he's been deploying against people his entire life. Sure. And the environment that we're surrounded by resonates with that. And then there's a point in the production where, at various points actually, where they turn off the lights and the window behind us is over the Hudson River, and the sunset over Troy is a part of the production. And then eventually by the end, given the time of day, it's dark night outside. And that seems to resonate with various aspects of the themes of the play. Would you say that that was deliberately intended?
Absolutely deliberate. As a matter of fact, the first scene in the play, sun is setting. Like, that's very clear in Richard's script about time of day. It's why we have, without giving anything away, why we have during the transitions a certain moment that happens as far as changing gels and things like that, as far as like color on stage of what time of day it is, and also the sound, that because the environment becomes a very big sort of part of this play, and little by little it becomes a little bit more and more a part of this play. So yeah, that choice of keeping the windows very much open, that bank of windows, was absolutely intentional, because we knew we were never going to get to like a, you know, it's funny, like in this space, we're not going to get to a place where we can just like ink the lights out. You know what I mean? So again, it's like, use this space, like, what's this space giving you? What's really lovely about the second floor, like, most office spaces suck, right? But we found an office space that, like, does not suck. You know, if anybody wants to rent out, like, and 500 Federal, give David Bryce, like, call him, because this is actually kind of a cool building. The windows face both Grand Street and Green Island Bridge, which is a really lovely structure. You have a great view. We're only on the second floor. I'm thinking, like, what's the view on the sixth floor? And, you know, are the offices the same way, that they, like, they have these huge bank of windows? So when the first time we walked in, we realized, oh, we're probably going to want to use these windows somehow, because we're never going to be able to ink out the space, you know. So if we're not going to be able to ink out the space, can the ancillary lighting that already exists within the space, like, kind of work in our show? And yeah, we are facing west, and the sun sets right at 8:05. Matter of fact, 8:06, although it's going to get a little bit later, so our lighting will change a little bit. It was a little cloudy tonight. I kind of wish you came. Tomorrow night's going to be really sunny, and so that sunset actually kind of really happens when the light's really good.
Well, I can tell from your knowledge of exactly when the sun goes down that this is a very detail-oriented production. So
down to the drinks,
yes.
Down even to the drinks, yeah.
But we have to cut it there, because we are out of time for this segment. But thank you very much for this interview. And even though it's a preview and I'm not supposed to say much, I will say that I really enjoyed it.
I really appreciate that, Aaron, a lot. I really do. It's a small preview audience, but it's just a preview, which is, in our like world of theater, it's more like a dress rehearsal with an audience. And we try to allow the actors that we give them that so that they can take it for a test drive. And this is a really good house tonight to kind of experience that with them. So I appreciate you being here. Thanks so much.
Great. And break a leg.
Thanks.